Susan. Be seated. Welcome, everybody. We're glad you're here at Wesley. It's good to have you with us this morning. Steve is here, and he's going to say thank you for himself and on behalf of his family for Wesley stepping up and being a part of their family in the midst of the crisis that they face. So, Steve, here you go. Good luck, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you. You probably don't know me, but you probably recognize our family name right now, and that is our daughter, Star, has had some problems, has had a serious disease, and it's basically debilitated her. Just give you a quick update. Right now, she's at home. She's in bed, and she is resting. She has good days, she has bad days. Right now, there's no changes for the better, and there's no changes for the worse. And it's a steady progress as we go. Right now, my wife and I decided it is in God's hands. We have totally turned it over to God and let his will be done is the way we're going. I just want to say thank you to everybody who has supported us and offered our prayers for healing, because it has made a difference. And I want to unequivocally say, if it hasn't been for this church and support we got, we couldn't have made it this far. So thank you very much. And one thing we're going to ask is for continued prayer for healing, to let Starlin get better so she can come back here and be a part of this church again. So thank you very much for all you have done for us so far. And we're going to keep going and on our long journey. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Awesome. Awesome.
For the Barnes family, and we are thankful that you allow us the privilege of sharing with you. It's a great, great privilege and an honor to do that. This morning, I'm going to be sharing with you a little bit about vision and mission, and we're going to talk about the Gospel of Luke, the 8th chapter, and a familiar story, the story of the parable of the sower. So if you would, open to Luke chapter 8. I'm going to quickly talk about the red letters, the things that Jesus says, and this morning, I want to zoom in on Luke's introduction to this parable, because it is unique. And it has a great and challenging word for Wesley in particular, but also for our country and our culture to hear kind of what Luke is saying. And remember, I shared with you that Luke's gospel is intentionally a gospel that is written to make the proclamation that Jesus is the Savior for the whole world and not just for a small group of people, that in fact he came for all souls. And that is particularly poignant for Luke, and this is going to really, really hammer that home this morning. So I'm going to be reading Luke chapter 8. You guys, if you've been in church a little while, you probably already know the parable of the sower and the soils, and so it's not going to be a new story for you. If you're new, maybe this will be a great beginning for you to begin to hear a good word from our Lord. So this is Luke chapter 1, and I'm only going to read through the parable. I'm not going to read the explanation. I'm just going to quickly kind of go through that. So Luke chapter 8, verse 1. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told them this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And when he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And that doesn't mean he was planting corn. Charlie got that right away. Do I need to explain that to the rest of you? Okay. All right. So we're going to talk about the parable of the sower and the soils, and I want to kind of give you a little bit of the scene. You know, Jesus would walk along. People were following him, and he would see something out there, and he would use it to teach the disciples, to try to help them to understand what is and what is to come. And so, obviously, he saw a farmer. This is in all three Gospels. He saw a farmer, and he tells this story. And back then, they used seed casting to plant their seeds. And so the farmer would have a basket filled with seeds and just reach in the hand and just cast the seed. Just walk along and cast the seed like this. And the farmer really didn't have a whole lot of time to be concerned about where the seeds landed. He just simply cast the seed. He didn't look at the ground and go, oh, there's rock over there. I can't cast the seed over there. Oh, that's where there are usually some weeds grow up over there. I can't cast it. No, he just generally casted the seed. And that alone is an important lesson for someone like Peter and someone like Ernie to understand. You know, we need to get this idea. See, because what I would do, I don't always automatically do what Jesus would want me to do. Is anybody else like that? I mean, I got to be taught and sometimes retaught, and I got to learn it, and I got to relearn it. But what I would do, since I'm so scrimpy and so tight-wadded with my life, I would take a seed like this, and I would look around, and I would go, that looks like a good place. Let's put a seed here. And I'd go, oh, that looks like a good place. Let's put a seed here. And I would spend most of my time deciding what looked like a good place. Jesus says, no, disciples, you really shouldn't be like that. Now, the seed is the word of God. And you should broadcast the seed. Don't spend your energy going like this. Oh, he looks like he's worthy. Oh, she would be a good person to talk to about Jesus. Don't spend your energy focusing like that. Instead, live like this and simply broadcast the seed everywhere you go. And there are still two different kinds of people in the world. There are people like me, and then there's everybody else. Now, everybody else, they don't look the same. Some of them pretend to be listening. Some of them listen with enthusiasm and quickly go home and forget what they heard. You know, and so Jesus tells us there's two different kinds of people. Don't you worry about who's who. Don't be concerned about that. Just simply broadcast the seed. And so that's the parable of the sower and the soil. In a nutshell, it's really simple. The good seed is the word of God. Now, it even tells us, Luke tells us in his little transition, where did my Bible go? Oh, I almost had nothing to say. Yeah, that'll never happen. Yeah, thank you very much. All right, so what I want to focus on this morning, I want to focus on Luke, what Luke says as he gets ready to introduce this story. Because Luke's introduction to this is unique. The other Gospels don't have it. Their other Gospels are very different. And Luke is intentionally trying to teach the church something about Jesus that is bigger than what Matthew's trying to teach. You see, in Matthew's Gospel, the seed is only given to Jewish people because only the Jewish people are worthy of the seed. Luke says, no, 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 no. What Jesus does is bigger than that. And so listen to how this begins. Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news. Now, if I'm going to expect you to be seed casters, I should probably have a pretty firm understanding that you know what the seed is. So let's start with this. What's the good news? Jesus is proclaiming the good news. What's the good news? You know the answer to this. I know you do. What's the good news? That has a very... All right, here you're saved. Okay, here we go. Any time else in the Gospel of Luke that we heard the term good news? When? Did you come Christmas Eve? Were you not paying attention? Right? Christmas Eve, what happens on Christmas Eve? An angel comes, and what does the angel say? Behold, I bring you what? I bring you good news. Oh, there it is again. But in addition to that, the angel then identifies, actually describes, and defines the good news. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Here's the good news. Jesus is the Savior. That's the good news. Not everyone who gets that seed cast their direction is going to let it grow in their life. They're just not going to do that. But you cast it anyway. Even more than that, behold, I bring you good news of great joy that unto you this day is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and he shall deliver his people from their sins. That's the good news. That Jesus is the Savior who delivers people from their sins. You and I should freely broadcast that good news, particularly to people who think they don't sin. That would really be a good idea to broadcast like this. Don't be concerned about where it lands. Broadcast the good news that Jesus has died for their sins and saved them unto everlasting life. Is that not a good word? Yes. Somebody else other than me say yes? That's a good word. This is a good news sermon. It's going to be a hard one, but it's a good one, in my opinion. All right, so now here comes something that is only in Luke. And I shared with you that Luke's intention is to take that message of good news and broadcast it beyond the Jewish circle. He wants everyone to understand that Jesus is bigger than you can imagine. So listen to how he does this. He says, this is only in Luke now. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had cast. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. What's new here? What's new? You need to get this. Luke is presenting, you ready? A whole new concept of how women are connected to the kingdom of God. This is brand new. This thought had never been given before. This is purely Greek thought entering into Christianity. And Luke says, listen, these women are gospel women. So let's understand something about what he's doing. He's saying that the good news of the kingdom of God applies to women. That's what he's saying. Any of the ladies like that? All right, guys, you're going to love this. So here's what goes on, just so you understand socially that what's happening. There's a war now because of stuff like this. Because the truth is, if you give a woman an inch, she'll take a mile. Oh, I said that out loud. But not your wife. Never, Charlie. Never would Carol do that to you. So, wait a minute. What were these women doing? Honestly, what does Luke tell us these women were doing? They were walking along beside Jesus. Luke points it out that these women are here, and the good news of the seed of the Word of God has been broadcast their direction, and now they're following. But they're not just following. What are they doing? What are the women doing? Does this sound like today's world? The women are paying for everything. The women are, they're buying them food. They're giving them lodging. They're taking care. In fact, they're not on their journey without these women. These women are here for a purpose. Now, I'm going to share something with you. This is for Wesley, but it's also for our culture and for our society. I want you to hear it. It's going to be said in love, but it needs to be said. And so I want to share with you that on Easter Sunday, we handed some. Well, I want to do something else first. You got this? Everybody get this out. Hope. This is our hope for tomorrow. We're in the midst of a campaign right now. And I wanted to share with you that I have chosen to go through life with you for the next few years. Kind of no matter what, we're going to go through this together. And I didn't do that lightheartedly, but very thoughtful about this, and felt a new calling by God to affirm you as a church and who we are and where we're headed in our vision and our mission. First, we're going to have a luncheon on June the 9th at 11:15 right after this service. And the point of that luncheon for me as your pastor, I want you to hear this loud and clear. I stayed here because I believe we are at war. And I think our battle is much, much larger than what we face as a church, as an individual church. I think there are things at stake in our culture that are way bigger than the obstacles that we're going to face as a church. But I think what we face is a microcosm of the war that we're against. And I need to know, personally, I need to know who's going to stand with me. I need to know who's going to go to battle. And I need to know who's not. And so one of the purposes of the lunch is for me to begin to understand who's willing to fight. Who's willing to fight for the truth that I just shared with you, that Jesus is our Savior and he came to save us from our sins. That's at risk. We may not see it that way, but that's exactly what's at risk in our culture. And I've chosen to fight the war, and I want to know who the warriors are. And so the reason that we're having this lunch celebration, yes, we're having a campaign, I get that. But for me, I want to know who's going to stand. I want to know who's going to go forward, who's going to fight this fight, because it is war. And what I've learned about going into battle, when you go into spiritual battles like this, I've learned that when you make a decision to go into a spiritual battle, I can promise you, and you've seen it in my life this year, right after you make that decision, guess what's going to happen? Stuff's going to come up against you that's going to try to convince you that you made a poor decision. There are going to be circumstances in your life that are going to challenge the decision that you make, and sometimes, in my case, seriously challenge your decision to move forward. And I want to know who the warriors are, because warriors go to battle anyway, knowing full well what's going to happen. Knowing full well what's ahead of them, they just say, you know what, this is worth it. I'm for this, I'll do it. And I want to know who's going to stand, because I've decided to stand. You've heard me. I will not go quietly into the night. I will not. I will stand for this. And I need to know who's going to stand with me. I don't need to know who's just going to show up. You can keep showing up. I need to know who's going to stand. I need to know who's going to fight. Okay? So we're going to have a luncheon, and you're going to be invited to that. If you haven't been invited to it yet, tell me you want to stand. Look me in the eye and say, I want to stand with you. You can sit at my table. All right? We have a vision goal. We are called to bring Jesus into the lives of others. And our vision, you need to hear this, is for every person, that means you, every person to make a decision to deliberately influence one other person for the glory of Jesus Christ. You're going to make a decision to deliberately influence someone else for Jesus. You're not going to be passive about your faith. You're going to stand with me and fight a war. You're going to go to battle for Jesus. Now, that scares a lot of you, because a lot of you are probably saying, well, I don't know what to say. Well, I don't care. It's really just this simple. You know what? I'd like to take you to breakfast. Can we go to breakfast? Go to breakfast. How's your soul doing? How are you doing on your journey? This is not rocket science, guys. This is just caring. That's all it is. And so it's not a matter of whether or not you know the right thing. It's a matter of not whether or not you will do the right thing. That's all it is. So that's one of our ministry goals. We need to strengthen our children, youth, worship, and go ministries. They need strength. We need to empower them for the future. And to that end, I am proposing, and I've already gone over this with the leaders, that we hire a staff person whose expertise is going to be team building. Not an expert in a specific ministry of the church, but an expert in team building. So we can build a team for youth ministry. So we can build a team for children's ministry. So we can build a team for the audiovisual ministries that are back there. So we need team building. So when we're successful, that's one of the things that you can expect is going to happen, is we're going to look for a team builder. Then we have financial goals. We need to move from, we're expected to receive $380,000 in income this year. We need to move to $500,000 to move forward. You need to know that our current expenses, what it actually takes to run the church right now, is about $450,000. And we're expecting to receive $380,000. What you don't know is that we have 240 families who call Wesley home. Of those 240, exactly 62 give money. The rest do not. That, I'm going to tell you how to look at that. I'll tell you a healthy way to look at that. I'm going to give you the words of my mother and my grandmother. You have so much potential. Ooh, you have so much potential to do this. All right, now I'm going to be a little more specific. On Easter Sunday, we handed this out. You guys remember this? This was our seed broadcasting tool. The idea of this was we would give this to people that we don't know, people we haven't met, people who we want to invite into a relationship here at Wesley, put our arms around people, love people into the kingdom of God. And so let me just go through our broadcasting tools. And I want you to pay attention, okay? The first, after Easter was over, we offered a thing called the Walking Mourner's Path, which is a class for people who are grieving over a loss. We do get people from the community calling to connect with that. That means it's a victory. That's a success. We're starting to put our arms around people we haven't met. That's a success. So here's a challenge, something for you to begin to think about. Who's the leader of that? Say it loud. Connie Pruitt. Thank you, Connie. The second thing on our list is our women's gathering, which was the Saturday just a couple weeks ago. And we had 140-some women here, and nearly half of them were from the community, people we didn't even know. Came and that's a success, right? We got to put our arms around people that we didn't know. Who provided leadership for that? Leslie Berlin, Gail Parker, Kim Saylor. The third thing on our list, we offered an invitation for women to be part of a summer Bible study. And we now have more than 50 women who come to this campus, half of them from the community, to be fed the Word of God and to allow the seed to take root and grow deeply into their lives. Who provides leadership for that? Leslie Berlin. Last night we had a wonderful presentation called The Splendor of Heaven. This was our seed broadcasting opportunity. And we had hors d'oeuvres, and we had desserts out in the back, and we had the choir and the praise team, and they were singing. And you know what? It felt really, really good. It was a really good experience. I counted 31 people last night that I had never met. That makes it a success because we're putting our arms around people. What do you see that is in common here? Are you paying attention? Ah, yes. Yes, Charlie, you are. Are you sure you want to open your mouth, Charlie? All the other men in the building just shut up. If the men of this church and the men of our culture will not stand up and be counted for being seed broadcasters for the kingdom of God, if they will not take their God-given authority to stand up and be leaders of the church, we will not succeed. Period. No matter what I do, it will be irrelevant. This has been a culture in this church since long before I got here. And I'm telling you, men, listen to me. You better stand up. You need to stand up and be counted. You do. Here's what's happened. Ever since Luke, I love Luke. Ever since Luke, men have stepped back and women have filled the void and stepped forward. That's both true in the church and it's true in our families. It needs to change. You need to lead your family. This is not a question. This is not a maybe. This is a you need to stand up and do this. You need to be a seed, a gospel giver to your kids and to your grandchildren and to the people of this church and this community. We have got to do this because the men that we're raising, if they're not Jesus people, guess what they're doing? Playing video games and fighting with the police. That's how it ends up. So I need to know, and I'm not going to stop. You guys know me by now. I'm called. I'm compelled. I'm going to fight for this. I will not go gently into the night. You've heard me say that. I'm going to fight for this. I believe in the family. I believe in it. I believe that God has called men to a responsibility in their family, in their church, and in the community. And it's time for the men of this culture to stop using the excuse that they're too busy to do what God wants them to do. Over. If you do not step up, you have voted to step away. It's just that simple. So, I need to know. You're going to hear me for the next couple weeks. I'm going to tell you a story, and I'm going to ask you, are you with me? When I made this decision, it was back early January. I told you, you make a decision, stuff comes up against you. It's inevitable. It's been true all my life. Made a decision in early January, and what happened? You're living it. You guys see it. And I stepped further forward, and I dug my heels in. And I stepped further forward, and I dug my heels in. I told Leslie the other day, I feel like Uriah. You guys know that story? Uriah was married to a woman named Bathsheba. Yeah. He didn't really do anything wrong. The king had an affair with his wife and wanted him to get out of the way. So he said, I want you to go to the front line and fight a battle. So when he went to the front line and he stepped forward in obedience to his king, you know what happened? Everybody else started to step away. They all stepped back and left him there all by himself to fight the war. And I need to know, am I all by myself? Am I all alone? Because people are stepping away, guys. Am I all alone? I have two people who have answered me. Two. I'm going to ask you again. Am I all alone? Am I by myself? Am I going to fight this war by myself? Because I will if I have to. Because I believe in what we're standing up for. I believe in this. I hope you do too. Because you're not going to get a whole lot more than this from me moving forward. This is it, guys. The good news. Jesus died for my sins. Thanks be to God. That's the good news. That's all you're going to get forever. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come before you. And Father, we really ask that you would empower us. Father, I pray, Lord, for this church. I pray for the community. Pray for the men of this church. I pray for the men of our community that we would step into our God-given place in your world, that you would allow us the privilege and the honor of watching our children come to faith because we're men of faith. I pray it happen, God. I pray it be so. Empower us in all that you do that we might be faithful instruments of yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, gentlemen, here you go. If you're moved by this, and I don't know the answer, but I do know the men need to step up. I know that. I don't know what that looks like, to be honest. It's just going to start, you know, gelling here pretty soon. If you're a man, you want to go to battle with me, I need to know. Put your name on the blue card, and underneath, tell me that you want to have lunch with me. I don't want to have a meeting. I want to take you to lunch. I want to take you to lunch and talk about this. I want to see where God leads us. I want to know what the men are going to do. Last night I watched the women as they tirelessly produce a high quality event for this church. I watched it happen. And when it was over with, I watched them clean up. I watched the women move the tables. I watched them do the trash. I watched it. I watched it all happen. And I'm like, I was walking around going, where are all the men? Where'd they all go? Guys, this is not acceptable. Have you been reprimanded? I hope encouraged. I do. All right. Let's continue our worship with the giving and the receiving of our gifts.